This is Frank Goss with Vintage Broadcasting. Thank you for joining us as we consider the history and the situation of public education in the United States of America today. Our series is entitled John Dewey's Dumbing Down of the American Mind. I want you to think about this question. We've been discussing public schools for quite a while now, and the dialogue that's being carried on within the schools and the conversation and who's controlling the narrative. But I want you to think about this question. Should religion be allowed to be taught in public schools? What's your first response? Well, of course. They took God out of school in 1963, and look at what happened since then. Schools have declined in every aspect. Kids are graduating that cannot read or write. High school seniors are leaving school with no core competencies in any category that would be required to make a living. As far as what the government is doing, it's obviously godless, truly reprehensible, and totally unacceptable. Obama's efforts in education were focused on the Dewey methods and intention. Common Core has brought us common occurrence of ignorance. Little Johnny still can't read. These are the facts. Well, okay. But the question is, should religion be allowed to be taught in public schools? Freedom of religion is a constitutional right for all Americans, regardless of the color of their skin. If this is true, and we hold that this is indeed the case according to the First Amendment of the Constitution, how would you feel if your child was taught life lessons from the Bhagavad Gita, the Book of Mormon, or Dewey's humanistic religion? Would that all be palatable and acceptable? In today's thought, this would be balanced and equitable. It would be accepted according to the First Amendment of the Constitution. So you have a first grader who is to be able to discern what is right and wrong when it comes to doctrinal issues regarding God and creation, man and his condition, eternity, and man's role in life. But don't worry, Christianity is to be taught alongside these other religions. Every religion is, by constitutional standards, required to have equal access, equal exposure, and equal time if the federal government is footing the bill. We're speaking about American liberty and constitutional fairness. So before you reach your conclusion, though, I would suggest it would help to have a clear definition of religion. Most religions have three fundamental elements, though each places a different weight on unique aspects of their particular faith. First, there is the belief of invisible divinities, deities, the worlds that await us after death. Some disregard all belief in the supernatural and focus on the here and now. In the Bible, you had the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and such were their beliefs. God is a mythical figure in some religions, and religion is simply a metaphysical method of understanding major principles in life. There is no heaven or hell, and there are no absolutes. This is Dewey's humanism, and this is what is being taught in today's schools. Others believe in heaven and hell and the reality of God, life after death, and absolute truth. Some believe in reincarnation. Religion very often presents us with information that lacks any empirical evidence. The absence of evidence does not mean evidence of absence. We cannot see the laws of gravity and how they work. We can see the results of the information provided, and we can reach our conclusions based on the information we've been given, but we cannot actually see gravity. Second, each religion views the real world in various ways. True religion does not deny the reality that we can see, touch, taste, hear, and smell. A physical world surrounds us that proves these facts. This physical world, though, has a history. Discerning that history is where things divide very quickly. Noah and the flood, was that global, local? Did it ever happen? Did Jesus actually exist? Did man truly walk on the moon? Some religions believe these things are all images and nothing has any real purpose or meaning. This is called nihilism. And this is already being taught in our schools. But it is a religious view that we allow to be taught. We accept it. Man is here. So is a woman. From where did they come? Evolution? Now we have an open door to science as a religion. Was man created from the dust? What does the rational empirical data reveal? Can science be trusted in these areas? Recently, we've seen that science can say whatever you wish it to say. It depends on where you stand regarding the religion of science. Third, there are moral requirements that accompany each religion. Jehovah's Witnesses do not drink coffee or caffeine, nor do they take blood transfusions, celebrate Christmas or Easter. They're serious moral rules that they enforce. The Catholics hold to transubstantiation, believing that the wafer they eat during the remembrance of the Lord's Supper turns into the flesh of Christ, and the wine that you drink literally turns into the blood of Christ. Mormons wear particular undergarments, calling this part of their cloak of righteousness. For over a century, Mormons could not accept blacks into the congregation. They hold to polygamy as being an acceptable practice. And then you have Islam, Hinduism, Buddhism, even the Wicca. Each of these religions has its particular set of beliefs and doctrines. And as Christians, many have not considered exactly to what extent freedom of religion reaches. Many of Americans don't know what the First Amendment actually says, much less what it means in application. There comes a point when we have to decide that if we are Christians, we'll be Christians, or we're Americans. I do believe we can be both, but the two words are not in agreement. This is where the soup gets ruined. Too many cooks in the kitchen cannot make a decent meal. And this is where education becomes an awful mess. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech, or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. I am an American, and I fully support the United States Constitution. I'm an originalist. This means I hold to the author's original intent of the Constitution, and I believe the Constitution to be a static foundational document upon which this nation has been established. You take away our foundations, and we're lost. I first, however, am a Christian. The Word of God takes precedence over all affairs of men, of life. When either of the three branches of government calls me to violate my faith or my understanding of my faith, I cannot and will not cooperate. I obey God rather than man. But the Muslim will say the same thing. So are we in agreement? Hardly. He obeys Allah and follows different rules. Then you have the Shinto beliefs and the Jehovah's Witnesses and so on. Do I think Christianity ought to be taught to our children? By all means. Do I believe the public school arena is the place for this to be done? I do believe it would be an excellent situation and a wonderful opportunity, but we should not be so naive, particularly in our day and time. Who will be teaching my child about God? And what will they teach my child about God? What will they teach my child about Jesus Christ, the atonement, and the church, sin and repentance, biblical history? Would you trust an organization whose original desire from the outset has been to eliminate God from the discussion? We have to divorce ourselves from emotional responses. Many good teachers have made truly valiant efforts, I'm sure. But I would equally assure you that their efforts have not been oriented towards pointing these children to God. How can I be sure? It's been outlawed. The system that has been constructed is built on the idea that there is no God and there are no absolutes. The system will not allow for godly biblical instruction. They will allow for Muslims to teach their dogma and others due to the leniency of their claims and the acceptance of the broad stroke of religion. Christianity, however, says there is no other name under heaven given whereby a man must be saved. This is an alienating statement, making Christianity exclusive. Today, in particular, this is not simply frowned upon, it is forbidden. For our schools teach there are no absolutes. I would say that no man can limit the reach and the power of the sovereign God that I worship. Men make their plans, but God directs their paths. God can go anywhere he wishes. Man cannot prohibit or forbid God from doing whatever he wills to be done. The National Education Association wants to tell us they allow for religion in our schools. But that's a lie. How do they do this? Well, they allow a prayer time, 2 minutes of silence, with no guidance being allowed. Allowing a six-year-old 2 minutes of silence? Does that even sound possible? So they exalt their efforts, and they want us to accept them as paragons of acceptance and deeply committed to the spiritual well-being of your child. They give the appearance of giving children an opportunity for religious expression. This is a farce. What the Christian community wants, actually, is for Christianity to be given priority over other faiths. For me, I would suggest that if we profess ourselves to be a Christian nation, founded on Christian principles, then yes, it would seem that this would be beyond question. but that idea has long since exited the public domain. And yet, for some reason, we still have this notion that Christianity has a rightful place in the classroom. The First Amendment will not allow for such a privatization approach to religious instruction within the public school. Some people approach teaching as a ministry of sorts. They take an altruistic approach to helping the child, and we applaud their efforts, but we cannot ignore the facts. They're working in a system that requires them to teach principles that countermand what most Americans believe. School boards have accepted federal funding, and therefore they're obligated to follow the No Child Left Behind program or the Common Core curriculum. This truly is following the money. Religious instruction is regulated on a federal level, not a state or local level. You ignore this, and the funds will dry up. This is the dealer that provides the pusher the goods he must sell. These funds have been used to create government addicts for years. Today, public school systems feed, clothe, instruct, and even babysit our children. They are intentionally moving to become the parental figure, the one which the public turns to for provision. This is perhaps the strongest socialist organization ever established in the United States and protected by the federal government. Things are not as easy as we want to imagine. If I want religion to be allowed to be taught in the public schools, I have to take into account the plurality and diversity of the public and the schools that they will attend. Also, I have to consider the requirements and question the Constitution as it's been applied. I believe Ronald Reagan said it best. One of the most feared statements that we could hear is, "I'm here from the government and I came to help." Do I trust the government? No. Do I trust the public school complex to properly instruct children in America? No. I have and will continue to recommend the serious-minded parents who have their children's best interest at heart remove their children from any influence of the government-run system. We say we want Christ back in the schoolroom. Okay. Call on your church to commit itself to provide an avenue of education for your child. How seriously do most churches consider Sunday school programs to be? Are giraffes sticking their heads out of the ark in the Sunday school room, and is social justice being forced into the heads of our little ones? Look at what's being taught. Find capable, godly teachers within the church who can teach and instruct our children in the ways of God, not in the ways of men. Don't find someone who's simply willing to watch the kids. Homeschool your children. Pray for direction privately with others and within the church if you can find those who will pray with you. The church should be taking a primary role in these days, but sad to say, they're not. You, as the parents, have the greatest opportunity and the obligation. Teach your child in the way he should go. Show him what is right. Read the Word of God to him or her. Turn off the television, telephones, and get their attention. Be the parent God calls you to be. Don't make excuses. You take the responsibility away from the state and reclaim your God-given place in the family. There is no easy solution to the situation. As Christians, there are absolutes that we follow. The Bible tells me that as a father, I am to bring my child up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And if I don't teach my children to follow Christ, then the world will teach them not to. We're told to train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he won't depart from it. We're instructed to love the Lord our God with all our hearts, with all our souls, and with all our strength, and with all our mind. Moses was emphatic when he said, "Take to heart these words that I give you today. Repeat them to your children. Talk to them when you're at home or away, when you lie down or when you get up. Write them down. Tie them around your wrist and wear them as headbands as a reminder. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. If you do not do this and ensure that these things are getting done, who will?" Moses went on to say, "Teach these things to your children. Talk about them when you're at home and when you're on the road, when you're going to bed and when you're getting up." Now, how inclusive is that? We're not to hide these truths from our children. We will tell the next generation about the glorious deeds of the Lord and his power and his mighty wonders. If you don't tell your children, what will they tell theirs? If you teach your child but allow his education to be dictated by others, those who have no wish to see them love and follow and know God, what will the outcome be? Should we be surprised when they reject everything we've tried to teach them? The original question of this conversation was, should religion have a place in public schools? Now, I believe we could say and should say yes, indeed. And when we understand the design of the system and the goal, we have to back up and say, no, I don't want my child involved in anything like this. We cannot allow our children to be subjected to 8 hours of daily indoctrination by the government, 5 days a week for 12 years. And then we expect them to have a heart and a desire to know and glorify God. That's insanity. The grace of God would be more than evident should this happen. But this, my friend, is not the case. Okay, if you're not a Christian, I understand. But you're an American. Stand up for the foundational principles upon which this country was established. We're not Marxist. We're not socialist. It was not the intention of our nation to be found in these ways. As a nation, we do not reject God. We are not an atheistic people. You need to know the Constitution and stand for it. Do not allow the enemies of the state to have their way in education, in government, and in control of your life. Stand up for liberty and freedom. Be an American. And if you won't, who will? Our series is entitled John Dewey's Dumbing Down of the American Mind. This production has been written, researched, produced, and edited by Vintage Broadcasting. We're working to provide you, our listener, with factual information that will provide a historical understanding of events that have brought us to where we find ourselves today. We hope this series is beneficial and helps you in your discernment, awareness, and appreciation of specific details, and that it serves to stimulate your thinking regarding the critical days which we're confronting. We would like to recommend an additional series entitled Global Marxism from the Top Down that considers the political history that has served to give structure and meaning to the days in which we live. These series can be found on Spotify, iTunes, and wherever popular broadcasts are provided. We thank you for your time and consideration and would ask that you invite a friend to listen to our series. You are well appreciated.